The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus. We welcome you to this podcast broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Today, Catherine Wright and Ken Yates continue their highlight survey of Romans and are going to be looking especially at Romans 6:23, a verse that is often used as a part of the Romans Road presentation of the gospel. It is widely misunderstood, and they are going to tell you why. Stay tuned. Just a moment to tell you about our website, faithalone.org. We have all kinds of resources, articles, books, blogs, videos. You can re-listen to this podcast as many times as you wish. And our bi-monthly magazine, Grace in Focus. Find out all about it. We'll tell you more specifically about some of these things at the end of the broadcast today. And that website was faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion, here is Catherine Wright, along with her dad, Ken Yates.
We are going to talk about one of the most famous verses, which is Romans 6:23. And what Catherine and I are going to say is, we think that this is grossly misunderstood among evangelicals.
I feel like we should have music like, dun, dun, dun.
So, Catherine, why don't you read it and give a little introduction to it.
Sure. Romans 6:23 reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we've been going through this series, and if you've been with us from the beginning, we talked about the Romans Road. For most of us who maybe grew up in evangelical circles, or if you've ever gotten a tract of any kind, you've probably heard of the Romans Road, which is the typical common way that people will give a gospel presentation or their version of the gospel. This is maybe not quite the conclusion. Usually it will conclude with Romans 10, but this is certainly one of the major points that people will hit as they're going through the Romans Road. It is typically understood as a salvation verse. The wages of sin is death, meaning that you are a sinner, and because of your sins, you're going to the lake of fire.
And that's death.
That's death. And so, therefore, you need the gift of eternal life, which is in Christ.
Yeah, I would say that if you pick up a gospel tract, there's probably about an 80% chance, maybe even higher, that this verse is going to be in there telling the unbeliever how to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. And if you've been following these podcasts, we don't think that's what's going on here at all. Even in the last podcast, we talked about what's going on in chapter 6. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's the most important question, because verse 23 is the conclusion to chapter 6.
Right. What's the context here?
And what is the context? As we have been arguing, the context is Christian living.
Walking in newness of life, as we discussed, in presenting your body as instruments of righteousness.
And if you listen to the last podcast, you know that in chapter 6, Paul asks two questions that are very similar. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Notice the "we," talking about believers.
He said yes, didn't he?
God forbid. Meganoita. No, you can't do that. Right. And then in verse 15, what then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law. Now, who is not under the law? The believer is not under the law, but under grace. So this whole chapter, as Catherine just said, is talking about Christian living. Shall we as believers continue to sin or walk according to the flesh, walk according to our lusts, in order that we can experience the grace of God, or because we're no longer under the law?
Also, just a real simple contextual thing to point out, the verse right before that, he's talking about fruit to holiness.
Right.
I mean, that's sanctification, isn't it? We're talking about righteous living, holiness, producing fruit in your life. So just that small little contextual point, I think, helps frame verse 23. But one of my issues with the Romans Road is how it's very much cherry picking. We're just choosing verses with very little regard to what's going on in the context. And I think this is a perfect illustration of that. What is Paul talking about right before he says this in verse 23? He's talking about fruit to holiness.
Yes. And so if this chapter is talking about Christian living, if it is addressed to Christians, if it is answering the question, should we as Christians just sin all we want, how do we interpret verse 23 here? when he says basically, no, for the wages of sin is death. Catherine mentioned just a few minutes ago that people say, well, death there is hell, for the wages of sin is death. But we've seen over and over again that that's not what mm-hmm. it means in the book of Romans. And we're going to see even here in Romans 6 that it's not talking about hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is he talking about? Okay. As we've gone through these podcasts, what we've seen is that sin here and now leads to death. Now, by the way, look in verse 16. Paul is talking to believers. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you can either obey the flesh or you can obey God, obey the Spirit. You are that one slave from whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
He says that if I'm a believer and I submit to my flesh, if I obey my flesh, that leads to death. The power of sin is able to attack my flesh. The power of sin is able to be at work in my mortal body. If I serve my flesh, he's talking to believers, because he says, shall we continue to do this? And if you submit to this, you are going to experience death. What is that? Clearly, it's not talking about hell, because a believer cannot go to the lake of fire.
I think the idea of wages, too. What is the payment that you're going to get from sin? What are you going to get out of that? As a believer, what is the result of your sin? And it is going to produce death in your life. It's an experiential idea as well. Obviously, physical, it's going to lead to physical death, but also that it's going to produce death in your life as you are living in your flesh. One of the things that we talk about is that what is it that leads, why is the unbeliever cast into the lake of fire? Is it because of their sin? Or is it because they don't have eternal life?
Right. They don't have eternal life.
It's because they don't have eternal life. So in this passage, as Paul is speaking to believers about the Christian life, yeah, he is talking about their sin because he's trying to help them understand how we can overcome this sin in our lives. That's a conversation for the believer. This is not a conversation for an unbeliever, because the unbeliever has no power to control the sin in his life. He doesn't possess the Spirit yet.
And I would say this, in chapter 6, Paul is not talking about unbelievers in any way.
Exactly. Right.
So when he says, for the wages of sin is death, he's still talking to believers.
Yep.
The wages of sin is death. Remember the two questions. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin because we're no longer under the law but under grace? No. Why? Because you'll experience death.
Mm-hmm.
Our sin leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
An experience of death. Some might say even physical death if we continue to walk in it, but certainly the destruction that death brings into our life, all that my flesh brings into my life. So when he says, for the wages of sin is death in verse 23, we understand what that means in verse 16. It's not the lake of fire. We have been set free. Notice verse 22. Now having been set free from sin, we no longer have to serve it. And then he says in verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. He's talking about the believer. So in verse 22, but we have been set free from the power of sin. We no longer have to serve it. And then this brings up what Catherine said. You, talking to these believers at Rome, have your fruit to holiness. And the end of that is everlasting life. I have been set free from the power of sin. I no longer have to serve it. Now when I walk according to the Spirit, my fruit is holiness. And the end of that lifestyle is everlasting life. So how would you explain that to somebody? He's talking to believers, and he says, if you obey righteousness, if you walk according to the Spirit, if you don't walk according to the flesh, the outcome of that, or the end of that, is an experience, I'm going to add that word, of everlasting life.
It's, again, a reaping, I think, the idea of John 10:10, that Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. Yes, the believer at the moment of faith possesses eternal life, but eternal life is not a stagnant thing. It is something that we can experience fully as we walk with him, as we are living that resurrected life. Again, I think going back to 4:25, that in the resurrection, in Christ's resurrection, we now have that same power living within us at the moment of faith. We now have access to him. We now have peace with him. And now we can walk in that newness of life, which is what he talked about earlier in 6. And so it is the fullness in that experience as we walk with him.
And this is so important, because when it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, the eternal life there is defined by the everlasting life of verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
There's the context. Mm-hmm. It's talking about believers and an experience of everlasting life. God has given the believer everlasting life or eternal life, and now you can walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
As you walk in obedience by the power of the Spirit, because Christ has set you free from the power of sin,
mm-hmm.
and you are united with him by the baptism of the Spirit into his body, now you could walk, as you say, in newness of life. You mm-hmm. can experience it. And so you can experience either death if you walk according to the flesh, or you can reap everlasting life in a present day experience if you walk according to the Spirit. Well, we hope this helps, and we hope you never use 6:23 as an evangelistic verse.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace in Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year, it's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we move to Romans chapter 7. Ken and Catherine will be introducing this important chapter in Romans. Please join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.